is Decoding the Crime Verse.
911, what's your emergency? Hello, hello, and welcome back to Decoding the Crime Verse. My name is Danny, and I'm joined with...
Glory!
And guys, like, this thing has been all over the internet. If you've not heard anything about it, then you are living under a rock. Because it involves a very big movie of last year, and very big actors and famous names causing lots of drama.
Yeah.
So, Glory, do you know the movie It Ends With Us? Heard of it? Anything?
Look, I'm not sure. I've watched so many movies in my lifetime.
I know for a fact you've not watched this movie.
What makes you so sure?
Because it came out last year and...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The last 5 years, well, I haven't watched a lot of movies.
Never mind that. I don't think it's your cup of tea.
For real? Yeah, and I completely get you, but in general, I haven't really been watching a lot of movies.
Okay, fair enough, neither have I, but this is dealing with the lawsuits between the two main actors, as well as the director of It Ends With Us, the movie, and that is between Jason Baldoni and Blake Lively.
I know Blake Lively.
You do know Blake Lively.
But I don't
She's married to Ryan Reynolds, who plays Deadpool.
Yeah.
And a lot of other things.
Yeah.
Like when I'm trying to think of examples now, they all run away from my head. The other one I can just think of is that movie Free Guy.
Yeah.
That was a good movie.
No, I really enjoyed that one.
So, from the moment Justin Baldoni announced in 2019 that he was adapting the best-selling book It Ends With Us into a film, there has been widespread frenzy, okay? Yeah. So, there have been few books throughout the recent years that have become such a big cultural phenomenon. However, the author Colleen Hoover, her novel It Ends With Us did just that. It sold over 20 million copies and has become an internet sensation. I myself have not read it. I have read another one of her books and I found it to be very dark and psychologically disturbing.
Yeah.
And so after that, I was kind of like, the book I'm talking about, they're currently filming a movie for, and I will not be watching it because, okay, I won't lie, I stayed up to 1 o'clock to finish, 1 o'clock in the morning, but it's traumatized me just a little bit. It was a psychological thriller, and I realized I do not enjoy reading those type of books.
Yeah.
But we live and we learn. So, Blake Lively, who we know, rose to fame in the 2000 series Gossip Girl, which I have never watched, and she was cast as the main character. Fans have been more excited, describing her as the perfect choice to play Lily Bloom, who is the main character of the novel It Ends With Us, a young woman who grew up witnessing domestic abuse and winds up in the same position years later. So you see why I haven't read this. It's like got some dark themes to it.
Yeah.
I'm there for the fantasy and swords and dragons.
Sure.
Yes, that's where you'll find me.
That's her department.
So Lily, in the book, just to give some context, is a florist, which I think is very funny that her name is Lily Bloom and she's a florist.
A florist.
Okay, maybe the author was not trying to hide anything there, but anyway. She's a florist in Boston who is navigating a complicated love triangle between her charming but abusive boyfriend, Ryle, who is played by Justin Baldoni, who is the other actor in this lawsuit, and her compassionate first love, Atlas. And it was released last August, and the film became a box office success, bringing in more than $350 million globally.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, despite its financial success, everything wasn't running so smoothly behind the scenes as rumors of a feud between Baldoni and Lively began swirling before the film was even released. And if you really want to get into the drama, I would suggest go and watch Candace Owens. She has a whole series on this. I promise you it's got like 5 episodes each, like an hour long.
Crazy.
About this drama.
5 episodes.
No, I'm not even lying. I even went this morning... while I was doing research for the show, I was like, let me watch. And then I was like, wait, this is like 6 hours of content. I can't get through that in five uh-huh. minutes. So maybe never mind. But I've watched some of it. And she like deep dives into articles and how articles were like released before lawsuits, like written before lawsuits were. Because you can, what's it called? You can like check in coding. And like when you put an image in a website, whatever, you can check like dates that that was done. And so, for example, she explains how this one article about the Justin Baldoni lawsuit was written even before the lawsuit was published.
Wow.
So it's like this whole conspiracy of like what was going on, who was doing what. So it's quite dramatic. But please note also, as normal when we do cases that are currently ongoing, all the information we are sharing now is up to the time of the recording. So if you're listening to this and other information has come out, unfortunately, I cannot predict the future. So I cannot be telling you those things.
Yeah.
Anyway, in December, Lively filed a legal complaint against her co-star, accusing him of sexual harassment and starting a smear campaign against her. Baldoni strongly denies that he has sued. Baldoni strongly denies this and has sued her in response. For a film about domestic abuse, the press tour for It Ends With Us was probably not what you would have expected. And this is already when fans and the public started to be like, what's going on? Okay, there were pink carpets, flowers galore, and promotion of Blake Lively's new hair care brand and Ryan Reynolds' gin company. Now, a lot of people got quite upset about this because it was a movie about domestic violence and it was supposed to be used as a way to raise awareness for that, not be about, oh, pink flowers. Like in one interview, Blake Lively was like, oh, grab your girlfriends and put on your florals and come watch this movie. And people were like, that's a little bit insensitive to the victims of domestic abuse.
Yeah.
Okay. Instead of advocacy on the red carpet, Lively highlighted fashion and florals. At the London premiere press, they were told to keep questions fun and lighthearted and to steer away from questions on domestic abuse, which, again, people were not happy with. Alongside the press tour being described as tone deaf, people started asking questions about why Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni were never photographed together on the red carpet at New York's premiere. Now, this is very odd because when you have two main characters in a movie, they are always like the highlight of the press tour.
Yeah.
And so, especially not only was he the main character, but he actually was the director. So he played a major role in this film and should have had more of a spotlight.
Yes,
into
definitely.
It. The pair also did no interviews together during the press tour, and at the London premiere, Baldoni didn't even attend. So people were like, what's going on? What is happening? And a lot of the times, actually, when he did interviews, he did focus on domestic violence, and he said the reason he was making this movie was for the reasons of creating awareness. Internet sleuths also spotted that Blake Lively and the author had unfollowed Baldoni on social media. Guys, you can't hide from these internet detectives. They're actually very scary. I don't know how people pick this, like these things
actually.
Up. Do you get me? Like it's like who's, do you know how hard it is to scroll through like people's followers, especially when they have thousands?
Yeah, well, you can search.
Oh, that was dumb. But I mean, who
but
thinks,
still,
let
look,
me go check if Justin is
the amount
being
of
followed.
Efforts that people put into stories. And
it's really ridiculous.
All of, it's crazy.
4 months after the film's launch, Lively filed a legal complaint against Mr. Baldoni, in which she accused him of sexual harassment. The complaint also listed Wayfair Studios, which is Justin's production company, which produced the movie, as being a defendant. The legal filing accuses Justin and Wayfair CEO James Heath of repeated sexual harassment and other disturbing behavior. Some other female cast and crew have also spoken up about their conduct. It also alleges that Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni and other people involved in the development of the film attended a meeting in January to address the hostile work environment. And her husband, Ryan Reynolds, also attended this meeting.
Yeah.
At the meeting, attendees agreed to a list of demands, including Baldoni and Heath making no more descriptions of their private parts, requiring an intimacy coordinator on set all times when Blake was in scenes with Justin, and no friends of the producer and directors were allowed to be on set when Blake Lively was doing scenes with nudity. The list of demands also implied that Justin had asked Blake's trainer how much she weighed and alleged that Justin and Mr. Heath had spoken about their pornography addiction to Blake Lively. What? In filing, Blake Lively also alleges that Justin and his team attacked her public image after the meeting. So she basically says she was uncomfortable, this was happening, she spoke to them, they then attacked her publicly. She accuses him of orchestrating a plan to destroy her reputation in the press and online, including hiring a crisis manager who led to a sophisticated, coordinated, and well-financed retaliation plan against her, and used a digital army to post social media content that seemed authentic. In the filing, Blake also says that this had led to substantial harm that affected all aspects of her life. Right. In return, Justin Baldoni's legal team said that these were categorically false.
Yeah.
Okay. And hired a crisis manager because Blake had threatened to derail the film unless her demands were met. So Mr. Baldoni's legal team told BBC that these allegations were categorically false, and that he had hired the crisis manager because Blake Lively had threatened to derail the film unless her demands were met. So not that things were happening that she wasn't happy with. It was she wasn't getting her way, and so she wanted to tank the film if she didn't get what she wanted.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Responding to the legal complaint, Justin's lawyer Brian Friedman said, and I quote, "It is shameful that Blake Lively and her representatives would make such a serious and categorical false accusations against Mr. Baldoni, Wayfair Studios, and its representatives." Mr. Friedman accused Blake Lively of making numerous demands and threats, including threatening not to show up to set, threatening not to promote the film, which would end up ultimately leading to the demise during release if her demands were not met. In early December, Justin was awarded a Women's Solidarity Honor by Vital Voices, and it was actually taken away from him because this whole public crisis had happened.
Yeah.
Since the legal complaint, Baldoni's podcast co-host Liz Plank announced that she was actually leaving the podcast. So again, what has happened has caused serious damage for Justin's reputation.
Yeah.
On the 31st, of December, Baldoni's lawyer fired a $250 million lawsuit against New York Times for reporting Blake Lively's allegations against him. Okay? Saying that they used the paper to bring these false accusations to light and taking them out of privacy. So it was an invasion of privacy. Okay? And then on January 16th, he filed another lawsuit against Lively and her husband, suing them for $400 million on claims of civil extortion, defamation, and invasion of privacy. His lawyer, Brian Friedman, said the actress and her partners had decimated, grossly edited, unsubstantiated, new and doctored information to the media. He also said Lively and her team had attempted to bulldoze reputations and livelihoods for selfish reasons. Okay? Then we skip to January 21st. So this is all this year. Baldoni released three outtakes of romantic scenes from the film as evidence that Lively's claims of sexual harassment were unfounded, saying that the video shows that clearly both actors were behaving well within the scope of the scene and had mutual respect for professionalism. However, Lively's lawyer were like, "No, you can see he's repeatedly trying to kiss her, and that all of this was improvised. There was no intimacy coordinator present." Okay, so I'm kind of like, okay, what's going on here? The following week, a voicemail of Baldoni apologizing to Blake Lively during an exchange about a script rewrite was released. And this is when the judge set the date for the trial on March 9th, 2026. So a year's time. Baldoni then actually published a website called Lawsuit Info with his amended complaint and a timeline of the events related to the lawsuit. So he's like, okay, people want the facts. Here is a literal timeline for everything that has happened in this case. Yeah. Okay. Published on the 1st of January, it contains two legal documents, Baldoni's latest court filings against Lively and Reynolds, and a 168-page document entitled Timeline of Relevant Events.
168.
Yes.
That's crazy.
No, but like, can you see, like, if you are able to provide 168 documents of what happened, like, you have 168 pages of evidence of, like, she's lying. Like, that's a lot of evidence.
Yeah.
Okay. The latter also includes text message exchanges between him and Lively. Baldoni's lawyer, Brian Friedman, told BBC News that Baldoni amended his lawsuit due to the overwhelming amount of new proof that had come into light. On February the 3rd, a meeting was held at the federal court in Manhattan. The hour and a half hearing became heated as lawyers from each side claimed the other was bad-mouthing their client outside of court. And so the judge said, both sides have given the public plenty to feast upon, and added that if the case ended up being litigated in the press, he could be forced to make the March 2026 trial date earlier so jurors do not become prejudiced against either one of the defendants. He also said he is barring the lawyers from making statements publicly that could sway the outcome of the trial. And now we wait. We wait till next year to find out what this is going to do. But like I said, there was a lot. So for example, it has come out that Ryan Reynolds would just rewrite scenes of the movie without Justin Baldoni's approval. And Justin Baldoni's the director. So he would just come, take notes, make his own script, and like then make the actors do it. Do you get what I'm saying?
Without his presence.
Like without his permission or anything. This is, and a lot of people, and this is where I stand, and I firmly believe this.
Yeah.
Justin Baldoni had the rights to a movie. He had bought the rights from Colleen Hoover, right? So you cannot make a movie on a book without rights. He bought the rights. Blake Lively then got cast, and she wanted the rights because the book has a sequel. So she wants the rights to the sequel, right? And the movie, so that they could do whatever they wanted. So a lot of people are saying, and what my theory is they're we're trying to publicly make Justin Baldoni look like this bad guy. And I think their aim was to use the claim of sexual assault, because the movie's based on domestic violence. It's supposed to be like, oh my goodness, we made this movie about domestic violence.
And maybe
this
they can guy like start a whole movement around
exactly.
it.
That was the point. And then he would have to give her the rights to the second film.
Yeah.
Okay? So I think it's all been about that. I think there was an underlying thing. But I think it came back to bite her in the bum when he countersued her. He's countersued them for $400 million. They're not even worth that amount of money. Their net worth isn't $400 million.
It's crazy.
So if he wins, they're actually screwed. Like, full on. And like I said, when Blake Lively was going to release that she was suing him, the Times article, the... like I said, there's dates encrypted in websites and whatever.
Yeah.
It's proven it was written before the lawsuit was even dropped. So that's clearly then an aim to deface Justin Baldoni.
Yeah.
So, like I said, if you're really interested in this, go listen to Candace Owens. She has done so much research and it is extensive and she has full-on proof. And so, now... I'm very keen to see how this plays out. It was very interesting because Blake Lively also just released a movie with, oh my goodness, what is her name? She plays in Pitch Perfect. She's the main lady.
Yeah, like I know her face, but I don't know her name.
She's got the black, the brown
I know
hair.
Exactly who you're talking about.
So they just released a movie. I can't remember what the movie's called either. And on the press tour, so on the red carpet, they asked Blake, how's working with this actress? And she goes, oh, it's so great. And then when the other actress was asked, how's working with Blake Lively? She was just like, well, you know, and walked away. And people were like, Oh.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. So maybe there's a little bit of a trend here. Maybe she's not this little great person everyone thought she was. Because I liked her until the story. Apparently, she also had a huge role in the casting of the young version of Lily Bloom. Like, she was like, nope, I want this person and I'm getting this person. She even had the composer like fired because she didn't like him or something. So there has been some really shady things, and it looks like what's coming out is that her and her husband Ryan Reynolds are very controlling behind the scenes. And so it's not actually, their aim was to paint Justin Baldoni in a bad light, but I actually think it's done the opposite and it's painted them in a very bad light. So like I said, there is so much more information to come, and when the trial happens next year, it will be very interesting to see who comes out as the victor.
Yeah.
I have a feeling it will be Justin Baldoni. A lot of people have turned against Blake Lively. But anyway, that is that for that show. Lots of drama.
Tons of drama.
Lots of drama. You know, Hollywood can't give us peace for 5 seconds. Do you have anything you would like to add before we end?
Yeah, well, obviously you and I have had conversations about this on multiple occasions prior to this. It's just, it always surprises me when you see people who you think are of, you know, big name, and you automatically think that they have this great character.
Yeah.
And stuff like this comes out and it's all very shady.
But you know, I think that's the thing. I think a lot of these Hollywood stars are really just not nice people behind closed doors. I think there are the couple that I think are decent human beings. But again, you never are going to... And you know what the thing is? They're paid professional actors. What you see on an interview with Jimmy Fallon is also not who they really are.
Yeah, not at all.
Not at all. What you see on their Instagram or any podcast or interview, it's like, oh my goodness, Miss Meghan Markle. She just released her new show.
Yeah.
And people are tearing it to shreds on the internet. It is so funny.
Look, internet.
For example, she takes a bag of pretzel peanut flavored pretzels or something. So there's a bag from the shops, and she takes out a handful and puts it in like another plastic packet and like ties it. And they're like, that's supposed to be a tip.
Yeah.
And then she says, I'm giving this to my dear friend who I've known for 15 years. And then she's like, I know it's his favorite snack, but just in case, I'm going to label that it has peanut butter in case he has an allergy. But people are like, but you know it's his favorite snack. Why would he eat something if he had a peanut allergy? It's like so stupid. I've been laughing at that because people are tearing it to shreds. But it's a classic example about how she's completely acting. She's supposed to be in her kitchen, being herself, being authentic.
Yeah.
Where the kitchen she's cooking in is not even her kitchen. She rented a house to cook in. So it's not even her kitchen. That's not authentic.
Yeah,
anyway, but like Glory was saying, what we see on the camera and what goes on behind closed doors. Side eye.
Massive side eye.
When the trial comes along, we will definitely do an updated show, or if any more drama happens. But otherwise, we hope you enjoyed, and we will see you same time, same place next week. Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.